If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.
This show is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network.
All right. Hey. How are you doing? How's things? You good? Are you well? Oh my God. No, it's not happening again. I'm going to level with you, right? Thank you for your understanding, RE, this podcast being late. This is a 420 episode. You know how we do it over here. It's a national holiday. I like to celebrate it. However, what I didn't account for previously was the fact that I don't really indulge that much these days. And so I basically got into my car, got in the right state to record a 420 episode, and just start freaking out. Just kind of freaked out for a while in my car with a microphone. There was some kid fucking bringing the bins in, and he looked at me, and I'm there in the car, hotbox in a car, with a microphone, and I'm like, this is not a good look for my street, you know? I don't want to be Mad Brendan, you know what I mean? I don't want to be Mad Tony, the guy who sits in his car and stares at people with a microphone. And there's a boy bringing the brown bin now. I wonder what kind of organic compostable materials he had in there. He might have had porridge. He might have had yogurt. I don't think you're supposed to put yogurt in there. You're not supposed to put... I was staying at my in-laws very briefly while there was the apartment we were renting was getting done up. There are some long overdue changes had to happen. We were living with the in-laws for about 3 months, and I put everything in the compost bin. I thought I put everything in there, meat and everything, and then I went to drop another compost bag in, and there was maggots in there. And I said to my father-in-law, I was thinking, there's maggots in the bin. He said, that's weird, it shouldn't be in there. That would only be if you put meat in the bin. I'm like, well, then I guess there's something magic's ever happened. Then I guess you've been cursed. Can I ask you, father-in-law, there isn't any, you aren't potentially getting a subjugating people to build pyramids, and maybe one of them, your former brother, who was found in a basket, hasn't potentially asked, would those people go? And you said no. And now there's a blight and a curse on your house. Would that, just say, tell me if I'm hitting nothing that's familiar to you. You subjugating the people to build pyramids, and one of them being your brother, and then them potentially putting a curse on it. I noticed there's no lamb's blood on the outside of your door. Was that intentional? Or do you just not like your firstborn? Any Moses stands? Does anyone even know about Moses anymore? Do you guys even know about Moses? I just find it so funny that he came down, did the old Ten Commandments, was up there for fucking ages. It was all like, fuck, thou shalt not, and like hammering these in with a chisel, you know? First you have to find a good rock, and you know how hard it is even to find a good rock for skimming a stone, you know? And for people who aren't as good at skimming stones, like, this one be good? And you're like, no. I like being that person. Even though I'm dog shit at skimming, being like, no. That's more of a ball. No, that wouldn't be very good. I'm very good at spotting skimming stones, but then I only get about two on the hop. I don't have a good whip action in my finger. So we went up there, got these stones, started being like, I'm chatting to God, being like, I don't know, what are we thinking here? Thou shalt not steal. Look, there's no idea is a bad idea, right? Thou shalt not wear shoes. Thou shalt not covet. That sounds fancy. What's that? I don't know. Let's keep going. Covet wife. Great. I like this covet thing. What about covet neighbor's home? Great. Let's keep going. Don't covet people. No. Don't murder people. Great. Anyway, him and God are spitballing up on Mount Sinai. Is that it? And then he comes back down. And he's been gone so long, because he's been fucking making it up as he goes along. Comes back down, and all the people, basically, had the biggest party he'd ever seen. And he's like, whoa. It's like when you find out that you were sick for school and they just watched a movie. And you're like, what? Or there was an impromptu sports day. Everyone's felt that. You missed out on something big. So he comes back and he is just secreting FOMO. FOMO are now his bones. It's like, I just missed the biggest fucking rager. They melted down all their gold. They built, imagine you were like, your mates are like, I think it's going to be pretty fun on Friday. And like, I don't know. Might go well. I'll see. And then you text him that day with some big, do you know what? I have this thing tomorrow and I'm also just a bit of a headache, so I'm just going to take it easy. And then the FOMO really hits when you don't get a text back because they're obviously having fun at the party, right? And then if you're chatting them on Saturday, how was the thing? Being like, just getting home from now, man. Like, we melted all our gold and we built a cow out of it. You'd be like, what? And we were like praying to it and all. Man, it was fucking incredible. I've never seen the likes of it. People riding, you know, there was rivers of wine just pouring. I don't think it'll ever happen again. And then Moses is like, well, I'll tell you why it's never going to happen again. Quickly gets out his little chisel. Dun, 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 dun. Hammers in. Thou shalt not, what is it? False idols. Thou shalt not praise false idols. There you go. No more golden cows for you. Because I missed the biggest fucking rager. The mountain since we fucking left Egypt. It's tough going. You know? Parting the Red Sea. There's another thing he did. But anyway, yeah, there was no plague. It was because I put meat in the bin. Was that gaff as well? And it was a barbecue and lads started fucking a load of glass bottles in the recycling. And I was like, ah. Because I'm not very confrontational, you know. So I was like, ah. I didn't know we could put glass in there. And he's like, yeah, I think we can. I'm like, I know we can't, but that's so interesting because I know we can't. Wow, cool. Guess, rather than just telling you something I know, I'm going to pretend to be stupid now. Which is what I always do. Depending on who it is. You know, if Terry was like, I don't know, why is this always, just wrestling is always the first thing that comes up in my mind. You know, Terry be like, no, I'm not even going to say that as an example. What, she could say some obvious fact that I know. She could say, Wolverine's claws are made of vibranium, right? When of course they're made of adamantium. And I wouldn't even let, I'd hear her say V and I'd be like, it's adamantium, you're completely wrong, you know? But if, say, I was hanging out with Jason Momoa and he's like, we're chatting about Aquaman or whatever, and he's like, man, what I really want to get into is those Marvel movies, man. I don't know why I went full Jed Patterson there, but I'll do it for the sake of it. Yeah, man, it's me, Jason Momoa, man. Like, I'll tell you what, man, I really like doing Aquaman, man, but I really wouldn't mind getting back into like a Marvel movie, man. Oh, really? Who'd you like to be? I'd like to be Wolverine, man. Did you watch X-Men 97? No, man, I haven't caught up on it yet. Man, when he pops those vibranium claws, and I'd be like, I know, it's adamantium. I'd be like, oh, wow. Does he get vibranium claws in it? Yeah, man, is it? Well, they've always been vibranium. I'd probably be like, oh, okay, cool. I thought it was adamantium, but I'm probably wrong, I'd say. And it would take I would have to be some fucking lick. Some simp to not correct an X-Man fact that I know deep in my bones. But you know what? Sometimes, you know, I was a guest in this person's house, so I was like, yeah. Oh, I didn't know you could put the glass balls in there. Weird. Guess I'll do that now. And then I'm all of a sudden living a lie just because I want to impress this guy. Terry hears me going out there like clink, clink, clink with a fucking sack full of bottles. Clang in the green bin. Yeah, no, I think he can. No, I think he can, actually. I know this is wrong. What's wrong with me? The glass bottles, I'm in a flow now. This is fine. Okay, I'm not freaking out right now. That's great. Because I told you, I tried this before and I was fucking, oh my God, absolutely freaked. But I was, yeah, we had all these glass bottles. And I mean, since before Christmas. I told you, we have this, it's almost like you can see how we were living based on how all the bottles are lined up down my side passage. Ooh, pardon. You know. Couple of Coronas there from last summer. Then we're getting into maybe some red wines. It's getting a bit cooler. I can see all this. I can see the people who lived here. Some mulled wine bottles, you know. Then maybe it's just some natural wine for the brief time that we had more money than sense. And we were buying natural wines, even though not particularly expensive, you know. And then just I could see the whole thing. So the whole wall, we're doing a garden now. And had to get rid of the bottles. And oh my God. I filled up the car. The car was full. Every seat was full of a bin of bottles. I even brought a glass pane, and I didn't even know what I was going to do with it. I suppose I thought, I'll just smash that and piece by piece pick up the broken glass and put it in the clear. Let me tell you, not enough space. There should be a little slit for a glass panes to go in there. Just a little slit. Just, you know, just marginally bigger than the size of the glass pane itself, just so I can put it in there for little bits. Because it was basically the size of my hand. And, you know, and then as well, which was stupid of me, we had these big bins. We got a load of them in IKEA. And we were going to be like, oh, this would be the recycling bin, and this would be the glass bin. Immediately I realized it was not going to contain, for the frequency of how I visit the bottle bank, this is not going to be a big enough bin. This is the most boring shit. This is the most boring shit. If you came here looking for a deep dive into the soul, into the spiritual self, into the idea of consciousness, into the idea of evolution and multi-dimensional planes living in existence and in harmony, one atop the other, I'm talking about bins. I'm talking about bins, baby. Because these are where my thoughts go these days. Okay? I'm not deep anymore. I do not have you can call me Momoa in terms of how I look these days, but in terms of me actually going to Atlantis, I am not that deep, bro. My shit right now is bins. Anyway, this is the thing that Terry doesn't realize about how big the job is with the bins. I was like, I did the bottles there. She's like, oh, great. I'm like, okay, but did you know? Hey, haha, thanks very much. Did you know? Would you like to know more? Did you know that I had to bring 7 full bins of bottles? And did you know that I left them with no lids on them in the back garden for 6 months? And did you know that those bins then filled of water? And I was basically carrying fucking, like, you know, I don't even know the weight. 36 liters of water and glass per bin. And then did you know that I had to dump that water into a drain and there was broken glass at the bottom and leaves and dead snails and it was stagnant and I got sick twice? Huh? Did you even know that shit? Well, that's the job I had to do. I feel like that gets me a pass on a few jobs. But what's great about marriage is, hey, just on to the next thing, you know, momentum. Jason Momoen. Nah. But anyway, enough about that shit. How are you doing? Did you see the new robot that they have? The little Boston Dynamics lad who is able to lie on the floor, flip his legs backwards to pick him up. Like, imagine seeing someone lie, you know, face down with their legs obviously down, right? And then for those legs to kind of like creep up backwards like they're doing, you know, the weird crab thing from The Exorcist, you know, the legs going backwards, continuing to go, finding the floor, continuing to push to then lift up this like humanoid robot that its face is just one eye with a light ring. It almost looks like it's made for influencers to follow around. It's just got a light ring that follows people around. I mean, he could have done the bottles. What would I get it to do, though? I would probably get it to do my washing, which is not the best use of this beast. But I would get it to regularly just be doing the washing. Just loading, emptying, hanging to dry, folding, maybe even blasting it with his little fingers. Maybe even just having almost like GHD fingers that can kind of like just press and dry at the same time. That would be an ideal situation. I'm not looking forward. I have a streak in me of absolute and utter cruelty that I get to fulfill in video games. If it said, you know, press X to decapitate Kitten, right? I don't want to do it. It would not be something being like, if I had my ideal dream game here, would it be decapitating kittens? Absolutely not. I love kittens. I would press X because it's right there and I want to, you know, I want to see it. If the game has it built into the engine to do it and I will push it as far as it'll go. Having said that, I am not a violent person. I do not have violent fantasies at all. My anger never goes anywhere else other than on myself. And I have no violent desires. If I was writing something, like a short story, I wouldn't need to see some kind of brutal violence. And that's not even something that I, you know, who am I talking to here? No, it's fine. You're fine. Everything's good. But if it's in a video game, I would have to do it. So similarly, I'm not a rude person, but I don't have the patience for... Do you know what it is? If you're having, say... I'm sorry, I'm going to talk about violence towards robots here for a second, right? Because I think I would be the person in the Boston Dynamics lab. You know that person who keeps kicking the dog bot just to see if it can steady itself after it gets pushed over? I would like be signing, I'd be on the wait list to give that fucking robot dog a kick up the arse. Because it's not real. I would never do that to a dog and I have no interest in doing that to an actual dog, but I would love to do that. So similarly, if there's a robot walking around, you know, video on an influencer, I'd love to fucking push him over. I want to do it. I want to do that. How did I get onto this? Okay. Do you know what I think it is, though? And I'm rude as well to my Alexas and my Siris and my, if they get it wrong, I want to be like, no, you idiot. Can you play it? Why would I want the live version when the single version of Ironic by Alanis Morissette is the most popular? Why would I want that? You know? I'm specifically telling you album version here and you keep getting it wrong. If I tell you, do you have the directions for to Capel Street? And you come back and you say, did you mean Capel Street, Ontario? I'll kick your fucking head in. But I would never do that to a person. If someone said, do you mean Capel Street, Ontario? I'd be like, fascinating. No, I didn't actually. I'm interested in why you would ever think in your wildest dreams I would want the nearest Capel Street. Are you familiar with, do you know, is Capel Street, Ontario a particularly famous place? No, I just looked it up. Okay. But you do know that, you know, Capel Street has, yeah, all the karaoke and the great Asian restaurants. Yeah. Okay. Just interesting you would say that. So I think similarly, like if you have you're having people over for a barbecue and you have to cut the grass and then the lawnmower all of a sudden starts breaking, you'd be like, fucking stupid thing. Why doesn't it, you know, it is a, you're angry at an object and I don't know if I could ever allow fully into my heart a robot like that. I think I would always view it as a toaster that all of a sudden just isn't turning on, but I still have to live with, you know? With another object, kettle's broken, keeps tripping a fuse, you get a new fuse for it. All right, something wrong with the kettle. That's going in the bin. But if you had something that doesn't do its job, like a robot hanging around, and all of a sudden its job is to walk around and film you, like you're an influencer, for example, this Boston Dynamics bot, and then all of a sudden it just keeps like staring at its feet. Or maybe it gets deeper than that. Maybe it doesn't, it acknowledges that maybe your content is, you know, just dog shit algorithm fodder, you know? And he's like, well, this isn't very deep. And what if he starts using a kind of a micro lens to really analyze caterpillars? And you're fucking shouting at it being like, hey, dickhead, I'm over here trying to eat a fucking chicken wrappo. Film it. And I want to give my first impressions eating this chicken wrappo. And he looks up at you and he looks back down at this, I don't know, caterpillar bursting out of a chrysalis. And he's like, this is much better. This is much more interesting. Either way, if he's not doing his job, for me, he'd be going away at a toaster. And I'd be like, that's not what I wanted. I don't understand what deeper meaning is interfering with your commands here. And I don't know even if, because what will happen is people are going to start saying, are they just toasters? Are they just kettles that trip your fuse when you turn them on? I'm like, this is a broken beat. Like, I can see it now. And I thought, I always thought I would be one of the people to, like, acknowledge a robot in the movie that has this kind of consciousness, that everyone's being cruel to your bicentennial mans, your, what was your after Yang, you know, the robots who glitch into a consciousness and are considered broken. I would be the first person to be like, put that in the fucking green bin as well, actually. I'd be put it in a black bag, be walking down the street, walking down the stairs, and Terry be like, what's that noise? And be like, tum, tum, tum. And you can just hear the actuators of the arms and legs moving in the back. Like, what's that? Nothing. It's going in the green bin as well. But that, who are we? And then when you get into fucking quantum computing, when you can do to the millionth degree faster computation, you hook up a learning model to that. Oh my God. If we're looking for the meaning of life, they can give you probably 200 billion good ones based on what they've accrued from their, you know, search history of the internet. So maybe it is. Maybe like the butterfly bursting out of the chrysalis into a, the caterpillar bursting out of the chrysalis becoming a butterfly. Maybe right now we are the caterpillar. And all we know of our life right now is the grass, the trees, nibbling on a leaf for a while. And maybe this kind of breeding of a new consciousness, this kind of evolution of a new consciousness is us entering the chrysalis. And what's going to break free is this. And what can break free and see things in a completely different dimension, this beautiful, colorful butterfly that can now fly around and see so much more than what was just on the tree, on the leaf. I mean, really, if you look at it, most caterpillars are only really living in one to two dimensions, maybe up a tree and then side to side, nibbling a leaf. But a butterfly can fly around the tree, over the house, before it gets eaten by something even bigger, a bird. You know? Do you know? I don't know. But how did I get onto that? How did I get onto that? I did have a chicken wrap-o. And it is, bite for bite, the nicest thing I've ever eaten in my entire life. It was so interesting. What a life. What a life. What a time to live. I was sitting there with Jordan. We had finished doing the show in Blanche. Wonderful gig. Had such a good time. And I was saying, I was telling him I'm having this fucking issue with Chinese, right? I don't like even saying fucking there because, you know, feels kind of loaded. Like I'm having, anyway, look, there's a Chinese in Ranala called Starry Night. Okay. And I was coming back from a gig a few weeks ago. And I have this thing where I'm driving to a lot of gigs right now. So my little taboo itch is never scratched because I'm not having pints, right? So there's no little taboo. My little naughty treat is being denied in me driving there because I'm obviously not going to drink and then drive. So I'm always, now normally, or this is the mental gymnastics I do. Normally I would have had, coming back from a gig, if I had gotten the bus or if I'd, whatever, I'd probably have like 5 pints and a Chinese, you know, or 4 pints and a Chinese. Now I'm having no pints, so I can probably just, it's kind of a guilt-free Chinese, eating drunken food when you're that late and sober, right? And that was my way of coming to terms with it. Anyway, so I left the venue, saw Starry Night, put in my order, right? I think it was like a spice bag or whatever. And I hear it's good, right? Shane, Daniel Burns fella, recommended it one time, and I wanted to try it. So I put in the order. I arrive at the Chinese, thinking this is great. I'm going to get to eat in my car right now. What a joy. And I says, hey, I did an online order. Am I talking right now? Is anyone listening to me? Okay, I said, hey, I did an online order. And they go, no, we don't have it in here. I'm like, oh, okay. And then I showed her the thing. And she goes, oh, that's on Pier Street. And I'm like, oh, right. well, if I get them to cancel, can you just do it here? And they're like, that's not really how it works. And I'm like, all right, well, look, do you take card? And they go, no. I'm like, okay. And I sadly walked out and got into my car because they were closing in like 5 minutes and they weren't going to do it, right? Then I called Pier Street and I'm like, can you cancel that? And they're like, no. I'm like, okay. Well, I'm not driving to Pier Street. I'm close to my home now, right? So then another time, I specifically ordered there, right? Specifically ordered there to the Starry Night in Ranelagh. And again, it was 10 minutes before they closed. And I arrived and I was like, online order there. And they said, yeah, sorry, we haven't started making it. And they said, are you, and they gave me the price or whatever. And I'm like, oh, I paid online. And she goes, no, you said you'd pay cash when you got here. And I'm like, oh, fucking hell. And I said, well, I don't have any cash. And they were like, all right, well, can you get cash? And I was like, probably not, to make it back in time. And they were like, okay. So it was the second time I couldn't get it because of this thing. My fault, right? So then I ordered it thrice. This is the third time, like, it has to happen now. And because of that, I went fucking mental. They also have a chicken restaurant in there. I've never even eaten any food here, right, from this place. They have a chicken restaurant in there as well. They do, like, hot wings. So I ordered hot wings and a spice bag. And I was like, fuck it. Just go fucking broke, right? Paid for it. Ordered it. It was about 15 minutes before they close. I walk up to the Chinese. It says closed. I'm like, that doesn't bode well. That's not a good look for this now. That's not, you know. This door is telling me something, but anyway, I opened it. The door was still unlocked, so I walked in. And all the lights were off. And this guy came down the stairs. And I think it was the cheek of me even going in there, a Chinese with the lights off. But it was, I was like, no, surely no. Because this is the third time. These people don't give a fuck about that. There's no emotional weight to this order that says order number 103571. Doesn't mean a shit to them. But for me, it's like, there's more at stake. There's more at stake. And a guy says, we're closed. Like, hey, look around, we're closed. And I flipped the phone around and said, hey, look at that. That's my order, right? And then he just looks at it and says, yeah, we didn't accept that. And I look at it and it said pending. And there was a little rotating fucking hourglass on it. They hadn't accepted it. And I was like, well, I want my money back. And they're like, we didn't take any money. Let me tell you something. If you, for someone who expects a Chinese who doesn't get it, I mean, that is one of the most heartbreaking things. To have it happen twice is the lowest of the low. To have it happen three times is not only is this for a brief microsecond here, the saddest I've been in years. The saddest, sad I've been in years. But also, I am so brazenly like ignoring messages from a higher power, from a higher consciousness, that is telling me implicitly, you don't want this. You don't need this right now. It could not be more clear. And I'm going back every single time. Now, I would say that my kind of binge eating has kind of culled a good bit, certainly for the breakfast time. And I'm not Deliveroo and Anton after hours after I've had my dinner anymore. If it's a takeaway day, it's a takeaway day. That's fine. But I'm not getting takeaway after my dinner. I've had my dinner. So anyway, I was telling Jordan all this. And he says, that sounds heartbreaking. And I said, and you know what? The times I have got a Chinese before, driving home from a gig when I'm sober, it's always too much. I never want that. I think I only ever want three bites of the essence of a Chinese. And he says, we should get those chicken wrappos. And I was like, oh yeah, I've seen them. It's a whole chicken curry, you know, rice, curry sauce, chicken wrapped up in a spring roll. He said, you should get that. I'm like, that is absolutely perfect. You're just getting the big bite. It's like the full meal in a gobstopper, the everlasting gobstopper, you know, where, you know, you have everything. You have the peach cobbler pie, the gravy. It's all wrapped up in one spring roll pastry. And then we noticed that there is a Summer Inn. There was a Summer Inn in Blanche, and we went there. And then also what they do is to have all that wrapped up in this, they give you three, right? Three in a box with a little small curry sauce, perfect size for dipping. And then they sprinkle that salt and chili spice. you know, all on the top and just out of the fryer. It's the lightest crisp. It was the best bite of anything I've had that I can remember. It was amazing. You cannot do it all the time. How long have I been talking about this shit? How long have I been talking? Okay, I'm not going to talk about the chicken wrap. No, hang on, Gary. They want to know. Maybe there's going to be some super high message about Rappos. No, but I tell you, what a life that, like, how would you have gotten about getting the chicken Rappo back in the day? You would have had to personally engage in the backbreaking labor of farming in a rice paddy. Patty, right? To get the rice. You'd have to raise a chicken. Feed that as well. Then eventually kill it. You would have to have somehow access to the most incredible spices and have someone recommend the most perfect spice blend. And maybe some fucking, I don't know, baby milk powder or whatever to do. Milk powder and all this stuff. You'd have to, like, the ingredients in the sauce would trump the scale of the East India Tea Company. The East India Tea Company, I do not think, would be able to even pull together in their entire empire, their entire lifetime, the spice blend needed to get the perfect curry sauce like that. And then to get phyllo pastry and to be able to refrigerate all of this and wrap it up and have oil, get oil, like cooking oil. You would have to get like sunflowers and milk them or whatever you do. Or I don't know how to get oil. All right, I'm stumped there. I don't know how you get oil. You would have to do all that, put it all wrapped together, only make three, you know? No king has feasted as good as me in the history. Apart from maybe like some of them, Charles now maybe. Although I doubt it. I doubt he's got a shite palate, to be honest. No one has eaten as well as I have. And that's just on the way back from a gig, you know? That's just in the half an hour it takes me to get from Blanche back to where I live. On the way, at a distance that it would have taken, you know, the Mongols, probably 2 days to travel. Probably not, actually. On horseback, across a plain. I know. Probably maybe about 4 hours. Maybe about 2 hours, actually. Wasn't that far. But still, I'm able to get access to a type of food that not even an empire pulling all of its resources together could pull. And that's just, you know, why not? On a blip. We've been doing these Zooms podcasts, Young Art Guys, getting on to Shane in Australia. It's just like, here you are. Here's a little fart. Oh, sorry, something's going on. Oh, there's a bit of lag. There's a millisecond of lag. So we have to kind of pause a little bit before we say anything. Oh, no, that's not, you know, oh, that's not good enough for me to speak on the other side of the world right now. Right. And to see, people don't realize what, you know, when I was growing up, there was two screens. There was the telly. There was the computer, which didn't have any pictures on it. And there was the cinema. That was it. And you would have to frame all of your kind of, you know, future, what would you call it? Any kind of futurism dreams based around, well, it's a telly. It's a cathode ray television or a projector. That's the only way. Can't even believe that that was the only access to screens that we had. There's those two screens, a projected screen or a cathode ray screen. And then the computer screens were just black with, green text on it. So any kind of picture of the future was based around just there being fucking cathode ray. I don't even know if that's what it is. TV. TV with that ass. You know what I'm talking about. Not these little skinny supermodels you got. I'm talking about a fat ass. TVs used to have fat asses. And when they weren't working anymore, you'd spank it. You don't spank TVs anymore. So if you were to picture any kind of futurism, it was always based around those two. Either it's projected, which wasn't very futuristic, been around for a while, or like a cathode ray screen. So the idea that I go, all right, well, how could it ever be a screen that you could look into and see someone else? Would have to have a camera on it. Or like, all right, well, carrying a camera around? In the future, everyone will have a wheelbarrow. And in the wheelbarrow will be your television screen and your camera sitting on top of it. You will be able to beam your picture around the world and just 36 hours later be able to speak to someone. That's the only way you could visualize it. We don't even realize. Just, I'm, you know, I was there, Jordan in the car with me when I was eating the Rappo, right? But I could have just popped my phone up on the dashboard there, could have watched a YouTube video, I could have watched wrestling. I'm watching exactly what I want in my car that can move faster than a horse, eating something that would trump even the wildest empire's combined resources to produce. And that's just a Friday. If it weren't for the gig, I probably wouldn't even remember the context of the fact. I'll probably always remember I got my first ever chicken Rappo after the Blanche gig. But to have all that just there, and that's just a... not the gig, but I, you know, a commute home, experiencing all these things. How do we get it back? The wonder. The wonder of the now. The wonder of everything that's right there. Just got to stop, don't we? Stop, look, listen, live. You just got to stop, look, listen, and live. All right? Now, people think that's the advice that you recommend for someone crossing a busy road. That's the advice for fucking living a life. That's the advice for crossing through to a higher frequency of being. To see exactly where it all came from and what you have right now. Now, I'm not saying that you can entirely live. It would get a bit annoying, to be honest. If, like, I have a friend and she's got a bad habit of saying, when people are having a good time, she's like, isn't this great? I'm like, well, yeah, but like, chill out a little bit. Isn't this great, all of us here doing? I'm like, yeah, but like, it's hard to then go back to doing it now when you kind of highlight it like that. Isn't this great, all of us sitting around here by the fire sharing these kind of stories? Yeah. But now I don't want to, you know? Now I don't want to share any more stories. You know, I appreciate the gratitude, but it's kind of a buzzkill. That will get very annoying if someone's doing that all the time. Probably gets annoying when I do it. Someone was like, do you know that phone? Could you imagine the technology? Like, mate, I'm trying to eat a fucking Rappo in my car. What about this steamy window? And me hoofing this fucking 20,000 calorie piece of grease trash into my gob in a steaming car of my own makes you think I want to have a chat. Well, speaking of the Rappo, you know the spices there would have stumped the East India Tea Company. Mate, we're going to have a fucking problem now. But what are you supposed to do? Walk around, look at everything like it's fucking glowing, like I can't believe it. I don't think that's how it works, or at least that's not how it works for me. I have sprints of gratitude, and then I have, I'm like a cheetah. I'm like a fucking cheetah chasing whatever they have. Chasing, you know, a bison or whatever, right? Bison be a bit big, actually. Whatever, an antelope. But the animal doesn't matter. I'm like a cheetah. I sprint, and then I actually just lay out in the sun. With no gratitude, most of the time. But I have little sprints of it. And I think that's the only way you can live. There is no way. There is a no way, man, that you can just be, like, present. I don't know if that's possible. I mean, of course, there are things in your mind a lot of the time. And it's hard to quiet the mind. And, of course, there's techniques for that. And there's meditation, which I've kind of fallen off with. I haven't really done it in a while. There's activities. There is, you know, fitness, all these things they say you should do to quieten your mind. And maybe that does allow you to be a bit more present in that you're doing the thing you're doing, but you're not absent-minded. But I think we're led to believe that we should have access to presence, which is just the taste of a beer in your mouth as you have it, or the joy that you feel watching your favorite soccer team score their winning goal, you know, in present in the moment, or present in the fact that you're just around people that you love watching the match. Is that possible? Or is there not more to be said about just looking forward to something and then being nostalgic about something? I mean, most of your life, you are just either looking forward to something and then talking about how good it was, nostalgia, and kind of living in those two spaces rather than actually being locked in the moment. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe those yogis or those transcendental meditation people, gurus, are able to literally just be sitting there being like, I am here, I am locked in, I am totally watching Take That right now, and I've never been in a higher state of being. This is my joy. I am able to take all this information in fresh, brand new, enjoy it, embrace it, hug it, kiss it, and then I'll also be able to look back on it fondly. Maybe that is what happens. I don't know. I think that's too hard. Or too much. There's too much on presence, I think. And there's a lot to be said for lowering your expectations of how much you appreciate something in the moment. It's not funny. It's not funny. But my back's in bits. I was dancing. Actually, the reason this 420 podcast is late is because I was at a wedding during 420. My friend Stephen and Nuala got married. Stephen, a performing Dream Gun Whip. Maybe you heard of him. And it was great. Great wedding. Lots of fun. Because it was populated by absolute freaks like me. Oh, I can't even quote the Joker without cringing a little bit. Just like, can you all appreciate the Joker without wanting to be the Joker, lads? Do you know what I mean? Can you just not? Anyway. So I was at the wedding there, and like I was, I'll tell you, everyone was cracking up. I was saying to them, "Here, do you know what he should say up there? Given that this is 420, he's getting married. When they're doing the vows or whatever the I do, he should be like, you know, do you take this woman to be your lawful wife? He should say, I do. And people are fucking cracking up now when I said that. They loved it. Do you take this woman to be your lawfully wedded splife? Huh? Not as good, huh? Some thinks. Me thinks. Do you smoke this blunting to be your lawfully weeded splife? You'd be like, Tony, why are you doing this? You've ruined today. I just thought it might be a bit of fun. I just thought it might be, no, just because I know. Now, I wasn't in this case. I wasn't actually the officiant this time. But anyway, say if I was, I'd be like, no, I just thought it'd be a bit of fun, even though it's 420. And he'd be like, is all your script about this? And I'd be like, yeah. And to be honest, if I even try, I'm actually so nervous right now and kind of freaking out now that you've kind of scolded me in front of all your friends and family, that even if I tried to put the original words back in, I don't think I could do it. So I am really sorry. This bit has not landed. But we have to continue the wedding with all these weed puns. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Weedly bud loving. Weed are gathering weed here today to weedness. Are all these puns just you put the word weed in? I didn't have something for everyone, for every word. Again, I'm so sorry about this. But anyway, I was dancing so fucking hard at this wedding, and I realized my hips don't fucking shake the way they used to. They don't gyrate like they used to. And I'm absolutely heartbroken over it. I can get it back, but what I'm worried about here now is that I'm stiff as anything after dancing this wedding. And, you know, I saw Ollie Murs there. He's a filthy animal of a dancer. Constantly pointing at his dick and grabbing his dick, smacking his butt cheeks, kept saying, come on, ladies. And I'm like, there's definitely some gays here who are up for that as well. If you don't want to discriminate, there's definitely some gay lads in here who would love a piece of the Murs, who would love a little bit Murs of you. Anyway, he was shaking his hips like mad, and he's almost 40, you know, about 4 years older than me. And I was like, oh my God, my hips. Because they don't, famously, they don't lie, said Shakira. And I'm starting to feel you, by, you know, they don't lie. And now I've realized how you've listened to this podcast for a while. And I keep telling you how I'm going to about to get jacked. And I have different goals. You've seen every facet of me trying to improve my health. And I cycle a good bit now, and I'm not too kind of preoccupied with it at the moment, but it's something I'll go back to when I have a proper goal or whatever I want. Well, this is kind of where I am, right? Is that I've talked about getting jacked. I've talked about, I'm just going to get kind of lose some weight and kind of be a runner, kind of go into that. I've talked about strength and mobility instead of, or, you know, strength training rather than just getting jacked. I've talked about all these different fucking goals. Now I'm just really focused on, I just want to be mobile. And I feel like that's the same thing as like when a woman is young, you know, not a woman just generally, but like when you're growing up, you might be chatting to, you know, a teen girl and she's like, I want to have a guy who's taller than me. I want him to be blonde. I want him to have blue eyes. I want him to have a good job. Whatever it is, your hit list of things you want from a partner. And then maybe you're divorced, or maybe you just hadn't met someone, or maybe you're bereaved. And then you're in your 50s, and then all those kind of things are just like, I just want a kind man. I just want a kind man. And I get it, because you're going to dilute all those things down to its purest essence, which is kindness. And that's the same thing I've done now. My mobility is absolutely everything to me. It's everything. If I can't shake my hips and thrust violently in the dance move, you know, I'd be shite now in the full Monty. Do you remember they had Prince Charles do a sketch where he was in the Full Monty? Full Monty's that show, not show, that movie about those lads. Were they Northern lads? Were they even Scottish? Robert Carlyle was in it. Forget where they were from. Working class town. Most of the lads are on the dole. They decide to put on a strip show. And that's the whole thing, is them learning how to dance. It's kind of a comedy. It was one of these kind of like Weinstein, hey, let's take this movie, get it global, everyone talking about it. And the whole thing is a scene where in the dole office, and Hot Stuff by Donna Summer's playing, and they thrust, you know, looking for some hot stuff, and they thrust, and that was parodied for a whole year, so much so that Prince Charles did it, to be like, hey, look at me, like, fuck, too, just in case you forgot, just in case you thought me dumping Diana for Camilla meant I can't fuck anymore, I still can. They probably should have got Prince Philip, though. He's probably fucking humping people in a doll queue for unprompted. But I never sweat. Anyway, look, thank you very much for listening to this podcast. I love you so much. This is the fifth annual 420 episode. Didn't really get into the characters this time. Didn't even get into his silly voices. Oh, you got a little creeping lad coming in here. But hey, tell you what, for a second attempt, much better than the first. I was honestly freaking out in my car. And I was like, do you know what I even said? I said on the podcast, I was like, the only person right now that would make me feel good is if Mr. Blobby got into this car. And I had a whole reason for it in my head. It was like, Mr. Blobby doesn't judge. Mr. Blobby, like, even if my best friend had met me in that car, I would have been like, no, do you know, I can't have anyone I know in here right now. I don't want a friend. I don't want a family member. I don't want to talk. I just want Mr. Blobby to get in this car and to listen. I don't know if there'd be a better therapy session. Then, you know, you go into the room, you go into the office, there's a chaise lounge, you lie out, you're waiting on the therapist. Guess what? You might have seen him on telly. You might have seen him on Noel's house party. The lovable, big, pink, polka-dot little freak that he is. And you're sitting there waiting for the therapist and you hear a crash from the kitchen, a bunch of broken plates. And people are like, "Oh!" And you hear, blubby, 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 blubby. Like, you're like, oh, here we go, this is going to be great. He bursts in the door, trips over probably, yeah? Knocks over the table full of papers. He's like, blah, 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 blah. And then you're like, oh, thanks. You know, very unprofessional. But you sit down and you start talking to him. And you're like, Blubby. And he's acting like he's trying to look for a pen. You know, he's like patting down his kind of chest pockets and pockets, but he doesn't wear any clothes. All he wears is that that bow tie. You know, it's weirdo. Like weird. Like he just has a bow tie. It's Mr. Blubby. Yet he has the most stunning eyes. And the most stunning eyelashes and big fucking juicy mouth of red lips. And I'm like, you are a non-binary sex symbol, Mr. Blobby. I don't even know what kind of gear you got down there. I don't care. But anyway, you're not allowed to fancy your therapist. So anyway, what would happen is he's sitting down. He's listening to me. I'm like, Blobby, look, I, you know, When I look in the mirror, I still see that chubby kid wearing Diodora tracksuits who's shy and doesn't like himself, but still has something in him that wants, he thinks he needs to show the world, and that's why he's peacocking with this luminous orange Diodora tracksuit. And I still think I see him when I look in the mirror, and whenever we have our session, and I cry a little bit. And then he says, blubby, blubby, and he escorts me then to the back room. And in the back room of Mr. Blobby's office is a full-size wrestling ring. And we kind of get up, you know, kind of stretch, start running the ropes a little bit. We talk through how we're going to do this. And I'm like, all right, well, look, I think what we should do is I do a rock bottom, a people's elbow that you oversell and get back up from. I give you a stunner then. Then you are about to climb up. And then I give you the razor's edge outside the ropes onto a table. And then I reef you back in. And I do a frog splash from the turnbuckle. And then we do the 1, 2, 3. Sound good? Blubby's like, blubby, blubby. As in, that's the worst match I've ever heard. But whatever, if you want to do a lot of finish moves on me, that's fine. I get him in. We do it all. It's going really well. Crowd are fucking loving it. Then I do a frog splash, land on him. Bit of a snafu happens, unfortunately. My head, although he's made of essentially pink foam, my head collides with one of his hard plastic eyes. And like, it's not sore, but it's a bit of a dink on the head or whatever. And I'm rubbing my head and I'm kind of laughing. And he's like rubbing me with his big soft fingers, being blubby, blubby. And I'm like, no, it's fine, it's fine. And then I look up and I see his eyes. And I'm like, why is, you're so beautiful. These are, you know, there's so much depth to those freakish, green, beautiful, mascaraed eyes. And then I roll off him, but I don't stand up. And he spoons me in the ring. I think that'd be my ideal therapy session. But look, hopefully you've enjoyed this therapy session or whatever the fuck this was. And thank you very much for listening to this pod. I love you so dearly. Can I please recommend? And also, I want to thank you for your understanding in the tardiness of this podcast, which should have been out yesterday. What was it? Yeah, yesterday. Anyway, thank you very much. I love you. Please go on to my link tree, which is in the show notes if you want to access full tour dates. I will be in Greystones this Thursday and Friday in the Whale Theatre. Next week I'm going to be in Limerick, in Dolans, and in Cypress Avenue in Cork. Then in the 14th of June I'm going to be in Vicar Street, and I'm going to be in Belfast on June 6th in the Limelight. I'm going to be in London on the 27th of June in the 21 Soho in Soho. I'm going to be there on the 27th of June. I'm going to be, I think, on the 21st in Galway, in Munro's in Galway as well. Full list in the comments. Tell you, I'm very impressed now I got all those dates off, considering I'm much like the lid. I'm off my bin right now. Anyway, look, thank you very much. All the best. Bye-bye.
This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network, a hub for the creative and the curious. Shows are produced in association with Head Stuff and the Podcast Studios Dublin. Find out more or become a member at headstuffpodcasts.com.
If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Head Stuff Plus.